I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
America is mourning the loss of three heroes killed in that Iranian-backed militia attack in Jordan. The soldiers, all from Georgia, ID'd as Sergeant William Rivers, Specialist Brianna Moffitt, and her close friend, Specialist Kennedy Sanders.
She was the life of the party, many would say. She was very competitive. She loved serving our country. And, you know, I just miss her right now. This morning has been tough on me.
We want to prevent this conflict from spreading. So we are intent on doing both. That is, standing up for our people when they're attacked, while at the same time working every single day to prevent the conflict from growing and spreading.
It's alleging that 190 UN employees have ties with Hamas or Islamic Jihad operatives, including 12 who they claim were involved in Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th.
On Tuesday, objectors will make their case before the Illinois Board of Elections that former President Donald Trump should be removed from the primary ballot for inciting the insurrection that resulted in the Capitol riot on January 6th. Meanwhile, another group will argue President Biden should be removed from the ballot for allegedly allowing enemies of the state to gain entry to the U.S. over the southern border.
A brain chip has been successfully implanted in a human, according to Elon Musk. The tech titan sharing a big breakthrough from his brain science startup company, Neuralink.
The former IRS contractor who leaked former President Trump's tax records has just been sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Judge Anna Reyes called Little John's crime the biggest heist in IRS history and said he deserved the maximum sentence she could impose, in part because he targeted a sitting president and thousands of others.
It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
They will bankrupt this country for Ukraine. You know what they won't do? They won't spend 1% of it on our southern border.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are here live, Las Vegas, Nevada. We're at the Restoring National Confidence Summit from Turning Point Action. Charlie Kirk, Tyler Boyer put this all together. I just spoke earlier this morning. Stephen K. Bannon spoke here. We're talking about restoring confidence in our party. We're talking about restoring the importance of the ground game in winning this election. Look, people are coming at me saying, oh, Poso, why are you going after Taylor Swift so hard? Why are you going after Taylor Swift so hard? What'd she ever do to you? It's not about Taylor Swift. It's about the machine to turn out low propensity Democrat voters that she is at the head of. She is the tip of the spear on that machine. We can see it coming a mile away, the same way they're going to use the Barbie movie. They're going to use all of these different things in the fall of 2020. That is our task and purpose. I'm joined with Jess Barsis, the assistant editor of Human Events, as well as Matt Boyle, the Washington bureau chief of Breitbart. Guys, how are you liking the event so far?
Amazing. It's appropriately abbreviated RNC, which the actual
RNC. Oh, do you think they did it on purpose? You think that was like,
you know,
a,
I think it was a coincidence.
I think it was
not
a coincidence.
Sure, anyone could, actually had that in mind.
It was 100% on
purpose. Yeah, no, it was definitely 100% on purpose. Yeah. No, that's Charlie and Tyler being a little bit cute there, being a little bit cute.
Little cute.
But then, Matt, you've been watching sort of the tip rags out there. Do you think that this event is having the impact in the media the way that the organizers intended?
Who cares, right? Like, I don't care what the establishment media has to say. The question is are they getting the work done, and are they identifying the strategic pathway to turning out the voters necessary to alter the outcome of what we saw.
Well, I think the overall, and I said this on Charlie just a minute ago, but I think the overall plan, the way I look at it, is I would love to see, this shouldn't be two conferences. This should be one conference. and it should be the RNC. And correct. All of the people here and all of the speeches here should be at the RNC's event. And yes. if Ronna McDaniel can't figure out a way to make that happen, then maybe we should find someone who can.
What it reminds me of a lot is back in, I think it was 2013, 2014, we saw at CPAC, CPAC wouldn't host panels on certain issues like immigration, national security matters. And they were kind of going along with the globalist thing. And what we did at Breitbart was we hosted what we called the uninvited. The first year, it was literally one panel for 1 hour in one conference room at the hotel that CPAC was at. The next year, we did a whole day of events, right, with panels where we brought in senators and congressmen and movement leaders and people that weren't invited on stage at CPAC. Eventually, CPAC got it right. And then they changed course and they started focusing on these issues, and we didn't need to do the uninvited anymore. So my hope here is that this sends a wake-up call to the Republican National Committee, the actual party, that they actually start doing what is necessary, which is, again, focusing on turning out these voters.
Let's talk about that a little bit more in the next segment, because you've got an incredible article up where you've gone through state by state some of the data that's come out. Really fantastic. Here, Las Vegas, Nevada, Restoring National Confidence Summit. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
It's the mission.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily, Las Vegas, Nevada. Let me tell you guys real quick, look, we know that we have to be high energy. If we're going to beat the establishment, if we're going to beat the deep state, if we are going to defeat the powers that be, we have to be high energy. And we need to be fueled by how I am fueled with Blackout Coffee. Go to blackoutcoffee.com right now. Use promo code POSO20 for your first order. Remember, be awake, not woke. blackoutcoffee.com, promo code POSO20. You can get, by the way, 20% off your first order, get a subscription, have it delivered to your house every single day. It's so easy, or every single month at least, so you have it every single day. That's the best way to do this. blackoutcoffee.com, promo code POSO20. So, Matt, I want to go through a little bit this article that you've outlined. I had it in my inbox this morning, where you've gone through this data that Turning Point Action has been able to compile together. Talking about these low, because it's all about low propensity voters, right? Mm-hmm. So like Jess, like, back me up on this Taylor Swift stuff. Are Taylor Swift fans the most politically motivated people in the world?
Not naturally, but if Taylor Swift comes out and endorses Biden, then they will be all of a sudden.
Right, and so the idea is they are people who could vote,
yeah,
but generally do not.
Exactly.
Right? This is the whole game, because they've changed everything. Back in 2020, they changed the whole system from voters to ballots. Mm-hmm. So if now I can hand you a ballot, say, hey, fill it out. All the Swifties are filling out ballots, right?
Yeah.
So that's the goal on that end. That's what I can see potentially coming down the pike. So my question is, and this is what Matt's article was looking into, what do the Republicans have to counter any of these operations?
So what the Turning Point Action folks uncovered, and they gave us this data exclusively, is that they've found 4.5 million, a little bit north of that, 4.5 million so-called disengaged Republican voters that they've identified across 10 different battleground states. In that's included Florida, Iowa, Ohio. Those states are going to go Republican.
So how do you define a disengaged voter?
Is somebody that didn't vote in 2016 or 2020, in the election in 2016 or 2020. These are now we're talking about, if you look at the margins in 2020 in Arizona or Georgia, approximately 11,000 votes.
Some of the tightest elections we've had at the federal level.
Right, exactly. 11,000 votes separated Trump and Biden in both of those states, ballpark. In the numbers, particularly to Georgia, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of disengaged Republican voters who didn't vote in the 2020 election in Georgia or the 2016
I want to actually drill down on that for a second. You're saying a voter who's registered Republican who didn't vote in 2020 or 2016, and they're looking at all of these.
That's what Turning Point Action's saying. I don't have any reason to doubt their data. So what
are these people, man?
Well, that's the question, right? So they have to get out there and they have to find these people. What you're talking about is 45 times the margin between Trump and Biden didn't vote in the 2020 election in Georgia. In Arizona, it's something like 27 times. It's something like 20 times in Wisconsin, where the margin was a little bit higher. It was just barely. It was 20,000 votes in Wisconsin. So if Republicans are able to turn those people out, get them to the polls.
So these are
vote.
Untapped wells of voters.
Yes, massive, huge, massive wells, amounts across all the swing states. Now, in a state like Florida, it's as high as a million, right? Like a little north of a million. And now Florida has been trending more and more red in recent years, anyway. That could be the difference in a House seat. That could be the difference in a down ticket things in the state legislature, et cetera. If you want to keep the Republican majorities in the state House and the state Senate, or add to them and embolden them in several other states. I mean, you're talking about the difference between who the president of the United States is, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, if these voters turn out. So that's the mission, is how do you get those folks to turn out? Now, the high propensity voters, this is the problem. So that you hear this point here a lot, where the Republican National Committee, which is going to have its winter meetings here later this week in the same city here in Las Vegas, they are focused on turning the high propensity voters, many of whom vote on Election Day, into earlier mail voting folks. So they're trying to bank the same voters. The issue is those are 4 out of 4 voters. That's what you hear people talk about. 4 out of 4
right,
voters,
so,
meaning that they vote every election.
To translate this, it's basically like, If you're listening to this show, you're probably a 4 out of 4 voter.
Probably right.
If you're listening
right?
to Rav, if you're listening to Human Events, if you're listening to the War Room, you're highly engaged. Right. You're voting in the primary. You're voting in the general. You are always there. Great. Love those votes. However, we are now also hearing that there are, and I'm sure you know people, though, in your, you know, in your daily life, you know them from church, you know them from sports, you know them from, you know, going hunting, whatever it is, who just don't vote, who they don't vote at the same level, but would nominally be probably a Trump supporter, a conservative, a Republican. They're just not engaged.
Right. And one of the ways that they identify whether or not, and to getting to your Taylor Swift point, that people on the left have actually got this down to a science of identifying whether people would be a Republican or a Democrat. They don't ask them, are you a Republican? Would you vote for Joe Biden? No, they ask them, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during a football game?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, and so on and so forth.
By
and
the
then
way, by the way,
answer
I have to say
that
this, because you brought it up, I have to say this, Jess, do you know who the first major white player in the entire NFL was to take a knee after Colin Kaepernick?
After Colin Kaepernick.
All the way back in 2017.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with, oh no, not Travis Kelce, he was way after that. although he'd be a good candidate. I'm gonna go,
Jess,
what?
It's Travis Kelce.
It is?
It was Travis Kelce.
That's
okay,
what I was gonna say.
Travis
yeah.
Kelce was the first major white player to take a knee after Colin Kaepernick. Right, Kansas City Chiefs, his teammate.
I just got to go with my intuition on
you,
this
You
one.
Were 100% right. It was Travis Kelce. And now Travis Kelce, I'm just, look, guys, I will be proven right on this, okay? Then he gets the Pfizer contract. Now he gets the Taylor Swift run. I will be proven right.
Oh, you're 100% right. You're not hearing me disagree. By the way, I was talking to people about this before the New York Times even reported that.
We all were.
Right. Like, it's so obvious that they're laying the groundwork for this, right? Like, because the Democrats know they have a problem with young voters.
Right.
We're
so
seeing it right
with,
now.
It's, so they were doing it at lower levels with, like, these TikTok influencers.
Right.
And then if you got enough people to, you know, harvest ballots, you got the White House visit, and maybe you got to go up to the podium. You're looking at, you're like, we all make fun of Dylan Mulvaney, but that's actually a voter turnout operation.
Oh, 100%.
Or a ballot
operation. And what the left has mastered that the right is now beginning to figure out, and you're seeing it play out at this convention, is that the cultural issues are the way you identify those low propensity voters and which way they're going to go. So the right needs to replicate what the left has been doing, and that's what everybody here is talking about. And again, there's some hope out there with what you're seeing with what the Turning Point folks are doing, where you mentioned Scott Pressler, what he's doing.
He'll be on right after.
Right. And so what you've got is one of the quotes I keep hearing is, you know, defenses win championships, right? And that's important, right? We have to have the election integrity stuff, but you need a good offense, too. You got to be able to put the football
also,
in the end zone.
Trump has, in a sense, been sort of doing this on his own as well. And you see it through these overtures to UFC, to, sports podcasts that he's going on, cultural podcasts. places. You know, it's sort of like the podcast ecosystem. Not, you know, we're the political podcast world, obviously, but he's been going out to just sort of these non-traditional podcasts that maybe, you know, like Full Send, or he hasn't done Rogan yet, but like, you know, podcasts in that area, again, to reach voters who, as you say, would potentially be, he sat down with Dave Portnoy in 2020, Barstool. So reach people who may be more culturally or economically on the Republican side, willing to cast that vote, but again, are just totally not engaged in any of the ecosystem or the news politics of the day.
Right, and again, think about it, right? Like, to anybody out there in the audience, they would understand this, is that if you try to force a political conversation with somebody you just met, it's right. probably not going to work out well. Right? Like, so you got to kind of ease into it, right? Like, you can definitely talk about.
I do that when I'm in Ubers, by the way.
Ubers is fun, right? Yeah, like, I love doing it. Taxi drivers and by the way, the way I knew, I spent election night here in Las Vegas in 2022 because I knew that it was the best swing state opportunity.
Nevada,
it
was
a tough
really
year.
Close. Yeah,
and look, the governor's
Lacks
race went
and Lombardo did it.
Like, so you've got, it's the only governor's race in America that Republicans flip from Democrat to Republican, but the part of the way that I knew it was going to happen was talking to taxi drivers and whatnot. I was like, okay, I think I get a sense of this, right? Like
Boyle talking to taxi drivers. Taxi drivers and all his trips to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's the point, the regular folks, right? Like, but you can kind of get
That's how he expenses it, by the way, when he sends the work reports in. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to the Uber drivers for work. Yeah, it's Palm Beach, Vegas, Cabo. Well, not Cabo, but that's for the Democrat voters.
Yeah. No, look, but and to your point about Trump, though, Trump has this innate ability to connect on a cultural level. You know, given his history from before his time in politics, he was a host of The Apprentice, right? He was the native son of New York City. He would go to Buffalo Bills games and throw the football around, right? Like, and be the
or even he's at WrestleMania. He really does. Yeah. He's at WrestleMania. Yeah. He's hosting Mike Tyson. He was one of the very first people to actually host the UFC. So there's a lot of history
and
between
his
him
ties
and Jimmy White.
In the golf world too.
And golf, right. My goodness,
right. Like all the golf stars love Trump. I mean, at least most of them. So, all of that stuff allows Trump to get into that universe. So the question
is like that NASCAR.
Yeah, another one too. So I mean, look, Trump has all the tools at his disposal. The question is can the conservative movement pull the pieces together and execute? Mm-hmm. And the numbers are there. We know that. And, you know, I mean, at this point, it doesn't seem like the actual Republican Party, formally the RNC, is going to take these steps, though they should be. And hopefully this is a wake-up call and similar type of a thing happens that happened, again, to bring us full circle here with the uninvited at CPAC. Similar type of a thing happens because at the end of the day, the Republican National Committee should be the entity doing this, right? Like the Republican National Committee should be the ones out there going and getting these low propensity voters to the polls.
Coming right back after a quick break, Las Vegas, Nevada, lost wages. We're here trying to figure out how to win back our country, which was lost from us. Human Events Daily continues.
Today, you know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm told, by the way, that Ben Burquam has a crowd of rowdy deplorables that he wants to get on the show. Ben, what do you got going on down there?
Hey, Jack, we're over by the main event hall. You said, rowdy deplorables. Be careful. Are you guys pumped? Who's pumped to be out here? All right. So, Steve, we got everything. We've got Turning Point Action. We've got some folks from Reno that are actually homeschooled. Tell me your name.
Josie Heyman.
Josie Heyman and
Riley Heyman.
Riley, and you're the president of your club, the homeschool club. I didn't even know there was a Turning Point club for homeschools. I've got homeschool kids. I love that. How cool is it?
It's really awesome.
I love it. Tell me your name, where you're from, why you're here, Brenda.
All right, Ben. I'm Matthew Martinez. I oversee our ballot chasing operation at Turning Point Action. And, Ben, it's so fundamental that voters at home and across the country recognize that there are Republicans who are just not voting. We have the analysis, we have the mathematics that broke down precinct by precinct, not just by statewide, not county, but by precinct, and where Republicans are not going to be voting. What we're going to do this next cycle is work on building relationships with these low propensity voters and ensure that they make a plan to vote this next cycle. Elections are being determined by just margins, Ben. And if we just had a fraction of ballot chasing in Arizona just last cycle, we would have definitely an Attorney General Abe Hamaneh and definitely a Governor Kari Lake. That's how close these elections are now.
100%. If you look at the money that the RNC is spending on this, the get out the vote, it's abysmal. It's shameful. God bless Turning Point for actually doing it. What's your name? Where are you from? Why are you here?
I am Mindy Moore. I am the chairman of the Forsyth County, Georgia Republican Party. And I am here because we have been lacking on tools and support from the RNC, from a national level down to the county level. We have people that are ready to get involved. They want to go to work. They just need to know what to do. And so this has been a great opportunity for us to network with people and learn and just really fill up our toolbox with things we can take back home and get out the vote.
I love that.
Brittany Brown, Chatham County, Georgia chair. And I'm here because I've been to an RNC training. It is nothing like what they did at Turning Point. They're giving us actionable things to actually do and win, which the RNC is not interested in doing for some reason.
Wow. 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 Couple more.
Hi, I'm Lauren Walker. I'm a host for AssembleX Idaho. We do grassroots hosts spaces on Twitter, and they're for all the states. So go to AssembleX.com and see if your state's there. Join the conversation and participate. Get your state right. And this is the way to do it.
Sir?
My name is Will Donahue. I'm the president of the National College Republicans, and we're here to support Turning Point and their ballot chasing initiative. We got students all over the country. We were just in Iowa. We were just in New Hampshire. And we're here to help support Turning Point Action, help win the next election.
I love that. And we got Wyoming back here. We got people from all over the state here, all over the country. Excuse me, Jack. The energy is hot. And again, in advance of the RNC, you heard it right here. It's just, it's atrocious that we're not having the RNC actually doing these things. But God bless Turning Point for actually doing it.
Well, I mean, this really goes to show you, and I love the fact that you guys are talking about the precinct level. Turning Point Action is going through, and Matt, you've got the data on this. You've got the article up, Breitbart.com. People need to go read it, where it's talking about not just precincts, but again, this is Moneyball, right? Where are the precincts where we can get the most bang for our buck, where we can find these buckets of untapped voters? I mean, it's like the Marcellus Shale find, the Permian Basin. You know, where are the voters? Where can we find this stuff? Where can we go to tap them out? And so we're not going to spend time running around in precincts where there's only one or two voters. We need to target this specifically. We need to do it seriously, and we need to actually dig down. This is, by the way, they used to say the old thing back when I was doing, I got cut my teeth doing ground operations in Pennsylvania in the 2000s. And it was always like, if they have a dog, if they have an American flag, if you see anything related to the military, that kind of stuff. And that's only increased now.
Right. So now there's a few things I would unpack here. So you heard from several county chairs and whatnot from around the country. They have 75 of the top 100.
The talent pool here is incredible.
Right, top 100 battleground county chairs from around the country in places like Georgia. You just heard of Georgia GOP chair lady there from Forsyth County. You've got Michigan chairs, Pennsylvania chairs, et cetera, all here, Arizona chairs. So you've got the 75 of those people. And then our story on Breitbart just goes into the state level data. Right, like, but what they did in all these binders is so each one of these chairs that's here, the Turning Point Action folks gave them a binder with precinct level down to the county, down to the precinct level of where these low propensity voters are, so they know where to target these ballot chase operations. And by the precincts that are listed in there, all have 200 or more low propensity voters in that individual precinct. So they know that, okay, this side of the county, we're good, right? Like, we got our people coming out, but this side of the county, we got to go put some effort over
right,
here.
And you've also got to track them for walkability too, because sometimes you get these areas where the houses are just so spread out or, you can't send a volunteer or a paid field staffer in there.
So speaking of Pennsylvania, right? So in the 20, 2016 election, my folks, so my mom and my brother were out there knocking doors for Trump. Yes. I think the door knocking operation is what made the difference in the 2016 election.
I agree with you.
For Trump, especially in places where it was as close as it was, like Pennsylvania.
It was the door knocking and the fact that Philadelphia just didn't turn out for Hillary.
Right. And so we've got a similar dynamic. So again, as much as, you know, this is a very serious topic and
again,
whatnot. And
we're in the margins here.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of this, I feel a good lot about of this is because, so. You know, we used to have these sweeping victories, right? Mm-hmm. Like Reagan 84 or Nixon 72. And people look back and say, hey, how come we can't win those states anymore? I mean, Reagan wins Hawaii and California. Guess what, folks? It's not the same country that it was during those elections.
And what's also
the voters have shifted, the demographics have shifted, and you need to be the technology, and you need to be in these margins like this.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's happened since then, too, Jack, is that you've got the rise of you know, very well-funded, sophisticated leftist organizations. So during the Bush administration, you saw the beginnings of this with the Democracy Alliance coming together, yes. Arabella, and then what happened, and we did this big
and
article
Obama came
on this
out
late
of all
last
of
week on Breitbart, too, and people should read it because it goes into the how the left really has gotten very more organized, is that in the aftermath of Trump's election in 2016, you saw the creation of this group Indivisible. Now, Indivisible is the missing piece that they didn't have before 2016. You know, they had all these DC groups and all this big money and the Soros money and so on and so forth on the left. But what they didn't have was the grassroots army on the left that they do now. They have thousands of organizations all across the country, dozens in every single state in the union that Indivisible has together. And again, you've got the two national co-founders of this organization, Leah Greenberg and Ezra Levin. They're former Democrat Capitol Hill staffers who founded this group Indivisible that are literally are bragging openly about how they are controlling the message of the president of the United States. You want to know where all this talk about authoritarianism, where Biden comparing Trump to Hitler in the Valley Forge speech comes right. from? It comes from them. They literally put it out in a document, a practical guide to defeating MAGA, right? Like, that's what they call it. So you can read all of this stuff and how it all came together. And I think that exposing what the left is doing and making people aware of it, combined with the right starting to get their collective you-know-what together, which is what we're starting to see here, mm-hmm. The question is, and I talked to Donald Trump Jr. about this last night, the real ultimate question is enough being done enough to make the difference to close the gap? And
you said a second ago that you're optimistic. Why are you optimistic?
Because I think that the energy's there. I think that people are doing this, and I think that the left is having serious problems right now. You see with Biden's mishandling of a number of issues, particularly the Israel issue and the Middle East, where the left is deflated. But beyond that,
we talked about that Israel issue, how the Ilhan Omar speech. I don't think the left realizes how damning that is for Biden,
right.
which, by the way, not just in the states like Minnesota, but also Michigan. And here's one for you, Northern Virginia.
Right. Exactly. And I think that the Arab vote, the Muslim vote in the country, which is, you know, it's not a huge amount, but in a couple of these key battleground states, it's 1%.
If they don't turn out, if they don't turn out.
And so that combined with the mishandling
Cornel
of the
West.
Cornel West is doing great out there, right? Like, I think he's running a heck of a campaign, and so is Jill Stein, right?
Yep.
Like, and so, and this
RFK
is another thing.
Well.
You didn't have a strong third party candidates in 2020. You did in 2016. In fact, if you look at some of the states, the New Mexico and Minnesota, for instance, the difference between Hillary and Trump, and Hillary won both of those states, it was less than the second or third place candidates, or the third or fourth place candidates in those places. So you're talking about...
So the margin was smaller.
Right, the margin was much smaller. And so I think that as long as the right keeps the energy up and keeps doing this type of a stuff, they're doing the ballot chase stuff that they're talking about mm-hmm. here, et cetera, I think you take all that energy in, you got to fight with everything you got, right? Like, look, you fight with every piece of energy you've got all the way through November, and afterwards, because you know how that goes after the fight. But the fact is that if you fight all the way through, I think it can things could go well.
Just when we talk about this ballot chase and ballot operations, that's not really what Republicans think of normally. It's not the
right.
culture of voting. It's like there still is. Do you think? And we just got a minute to the break. But do you think that it's something where Republicans can say, "Look, I want to win," and that's enough to shift the culture?
Yeah, from what I've seen, I think that there are a lot of low propensity Republican voters that, you know, ballot chasing, it's not a term that people are used to, I feel like, on the Republican side. But I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. The Swifties are going to be the easiest low propensity voters for the Democrats to chase on the ballot. If we have the infrastructure and if we continue doing what Turning Point Action is doing here, building that infrastructure, putting the tools in the hands of the right people, then we're going to reach those low propensity voters. We are going to chase the ballots. It's not supposed to be a term that's taboo. Ballot chasing is a real thing, and I think the Republican side needs to start embracing it.
It's how we win. Matt Boyle, where can people follow, my friend?
True Social at Real Matt Boyle and readbreitbart.com.
He doesn't do Twitter, folks. Only True Social.
I quit Twitter years and years ago.
There's like you, and then there's Trump. If we can get you back, maybe Trump will be the one right after.
I quit long before Trump.
You were early. This was this guy. I can't even get him back. Matt Boyle, everybody. Yeah. God bless, man. The great Scott Pressler joins us next year, Human Events Daily.
Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Las Vegas, Nevada, Human Events Daily, Restoring National Confidence Summit. But folks, we understand the world is quickly descending into chaos, and the next medical crisis, guess what? It's just around the corner. And whether that's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option. It's a necessity. That's where my friends at the Wellness Company come in. From something important and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in some third world lab, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications. You got your ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, so much more. By the way, try to get a Z-Pak right now outside of these. Go see what happens. The Wellness Company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Rice, Dr. Drew, Dr. Robert Seek, and so many more are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order, just go to twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso. And use, of course, powerful promo code POSO for 10% off. The Wellness Company and their licensed doctors and medical professionals you can trust. Their medical emergency kits are the gold standard to keeping you safe. Again, twc.health/poso, promo code POSO for 10% off. Check the site for the descriptions, or if you need prescriptions, it's all there. All right, we are here. And of course, you can see to my left, the great Scott Pressler is now joining us. You know, Scott, I don't know if you know, and I got to throw this out there, that Jess Barshes has now been doing the Swing State Update podcast with Tyler Boyer, which is directly involved in all of the ballot chase operations that Turning Point Action is doing. Are you guys going to get Scott on the show? What's going on?
Yeah, let's get Scott on the show. That's actually how I started becoming a precinct committeeman, because we were on the show live and they said, we're going to give you the application right now. We had someone go get the application. I filled it out live, and now I'm almost there. So.
Whoa, committee man. Uh-oh.
Well, and it shows you the importance, because what just happened this last weekend, it was the state committee men, the state committee women. They had a mandatory meeting, and we have a new chairwoman in Arizona because of people like you that are stepping up. Yeah. So it shows you the value of joining your party and becoming a part of that mechanics.
Yeah, Gina's amazing. I'm so invigorated.
Walk through what happened so people understand.
So basically, we had a cheer election in Arizona, in Phoenix, at Dream City Church. And so this was a mandatory meeting. So we elected first vice chair, we elected all the offices, we elected a chairperson. But it's about getting involved at your precinct level and becoming a part of the operation, so you have a voice, so you're a cag in the machine. And I know that some people, they may not be happy with the RNC chair people or the national party, but guys, if, for example, if you change to independent and you're not a Republican, you won't be able to vote in the presidential right. preference election, which is a closed primary. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you are inhibiting your voice. You are taking away your opportunity to make sure that we have the most conservative party. Yeah. And you're allowing other people to speak for you.
Has she called you back yet?
Bless her heart. No, not yet. It's like 290 days.
290
no?
days. She's down the street. You should go. Are you going to go? You should go.
You know what? I've got to go to Pennsylvania. We have the Great American Outdoor Show from the 3rd to the 11th in Harrisburg. There's going to be tens of thousands of people. And Donald Trump is coming on the 9th. So this is the opportunity to make sure every person is registered to vote. Every person mm-hmm. is registered as a Republican in the closed primary state of Pennsylvania. And you know what? Look. We lead by example. I'm not going to chase people down and wish for them to work with me. I'm going to be on the ground leading teams at gun shows, farmers markets, doing the work that needs to be done to actually win elections.
There's actually a racing show coming up in southeastern Pennsylvania, big one. At the Philadelphia Convention Center, OSPA. I just know that happened to know that's something. I've got some friends that are at that, you know, what can I say? That's in PA, you know, racing it's huge up there. And not just NASCAR, but we don't actually have a NASCAR track in Pennsylvania, but amateur racing.
Pocono Raceway days.
Pocono Raceway we have. I'm thinking of southeastern Pennsylvania. That the amateur tracks are huge.
Yes.
Huge. Nazareth, Pocono. So it's actually a huge part of the culture, the same way we have hunting, the same way we have everything.
Yes. Well, and look, that's a part of the coalitions that we're building. You know, I want to kind of inspire people. We've got Team Pennsylvania, Team Arizona. But Joe Biden won 2020 in Pennsylvania by 80,000 votes. There are 80,000 Amish alone in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And did you know that the Amish get married on Tuesdays in November?
That
did you
blew
know
my
that?
Mind.
Isn't that amazing?
I went to your breakout session, and I was listening thoroughly at that part. I thought that was so interesting.
So if they get married on Tuesdays in November,
what yeah. happens on Tuesdays in November?
Then what can we take from that?
Where are
that?
The votes then?
Exactly. So yes. What I'm saying is they're not going to have the opportunity to vote because they're all getting married and being baby-making machines. So we need to have them do vote by mail or do early in-person voting. And not only that, but think about this. There are 80,000 truckers in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I spoke to this wife who said that the husband didn't vote in 2020 in the presidential election in Pennsylvania because he was hauling a rig as a driver. Think about, I know that early voting is a contentious issue, but think about the people that agree with us. Police officers, firefighters, nurses, doctors, pilots, truck drivers, members of our United States military, teachers. Those yeah. are all people with professions that may not have the ability to vote on election day. Why do we want to limit and inhibit their ability to lock in every single gosh darn Republican vote?
So this is what Jess was, I'd asked her, and she's on Swing State. We're talking about this a little bit more. So I guess, Jess, when you talk to people about the prospect of voting earlier, are you getting pushback? Or are you starting to see more, you know, even in your precinct work, are you starting to see people more receptive to it?
I'm starting to see people more receptive to early voting. And that it makes total sense. You know, the people that we are trying to target, ballot chase, they are in professions that, you know, you might not be able to get to the polls when you're supposed to. I'm thinking like pilots, too.
Yes.
There are so many professions like that. And I think, you know, this just needs to be talked about more. People need to become more comfortable with the concept of early voting. The more knowledge that we can get out there and the more talking points we have about early voting, just like with your friends, your family, just get the word out. You know, I think people will become more receptive to it.
And Scott, so let me ask you the same question, because obviously, like, we know in 2020, the Republicans infamously eschewed this. They were basically opposed to it in many states. Are you seeing any bit of a tide change on that?
Absolutely, yes. I've had people who, and I mean, these are very election integrity oriented people in Pennsylvania.
Right.
I was in York, you know, Adams, that area. Yeah. And they were like, Scott, you talking about the fact that it snowed on election day in Washoe County, Reno, Nevada, a Republican county, that precipitation used to help Republicans, but no longer, because we have mail-in voting in Nevada. We have universal voting. We have ballot harvesting.
This is what I keep trying to explain to people, that the system is different now, and all of the stuff that we used to believe is out the window.
And if we're going to lose, it's not we're losing because of politics and policies. We lose by procedure. And if you think about
it, operational.
It's operational. Wisconsin, 20,000 votes. Arizona, 20,000 votes. Georgia, 10,000 votes. Pennsylvania, 80,000 votes. That is nothing imagine, for example, there are 600,000 American Israelis that live in Israel that can actually vote because they are American citizens. Why are we not, when 80% of American Israelis vote Republican, especially since October 7th, the attack of Hamas in Israel, are we not focusing on getting a mail-in ballot in the hands of every single American Israeli and people that are expatriates in Mexico and Costa Rica and American Samoa? This needs to be an all-of-the-above approach.
Well,
if you can't tell, I'm passionate.
The entire American expat community.
I love it.
Which,
I
voted expat when I lived in China. I voted expat, in a sense, when I was in the military, so I was deployed overseas. I've done it. I mean, it's actually not easy, to tell you the truth. And I remember doing it. You would have to, you would dig through these like really bad websites, and you would have to find them. And this was me as like a pretty motivated guy trying to figure it out. And you're like, you have to request it, but then does the ballot come to you overseas? Where
yes.
does it come? So the goal of the party should be finding ways to make it easy as possible for people that we know are our voters to come and vote.
Well, and I want to give a shout out to Solomon Yu, who is an RNC committee man, I believe, for the great state of Oregon. And then we also have Mark, who's GOP Israel on Twitter with Republicans Abroad. They do have this organization and the website. If you're watching right now and you're going, Scott, Jack, I'm an expatriate. How the heck do I do this? You're going to go to FVAP.org, F as in Frank, V as in Victor, AP.org. And that website is going to walk you through the process of how as an expatriate to make sure that you're voting in this November presidential election.
Coming up on a quick break, we got more back here, Las Vegas, Scott Presser. You know, Scott, for a hot minute, I was actually the voter registration chair for all of China for Republicans Abroad.
Really?
Yeah,
I love
three years ago. I didn't register a lot of Republicans, but I was there, man. I was there. And I just spoke at Republicans Abroad in Tokyo.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Amazing.
Let's go.
All right.
Little stuff. Little.
I'm working long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live. Last segment here, Human Events Daily, the Restoring National Confidence Summit here at Las Vegas, Nevada. We are here in Las Vegas because not only is the RNC taking place just down the street, but Scott, do you think Nevada is a swing state?
I think Nevada is 100% in play in this presidential election. I mean, look, what happened in 2022? We just elected Republican Governor Lombardo, flipping that governorship from blue to red. I mean, that was big. And I mean, Susie Lee, I want to make it very clear. We are peacefully coming for your congressional seat, and we are going for all of the congressional seats here in the great state of Nevada.
You know, I look at some of these states and Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona, of course, you know, you come to them and they seem culturally out west that like they should be Republican states, and historically obviously were.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you had earlier on the segment talking about the numbers. Guys, we have the votes.
Yeah.
I mean, New Mexico, oh my gosh, if we just got every Republican out to vote, we would have won the governorship in 2022 as well. San Bernardino County, if we just got every Republican, oh my gosh. Look at Oregon. Everybody thinks of Oregon, you know, Washington, California as the West Coast, the left coast. And Christine Drazen was a Republican candidate running for governor in 2022. She lost by 60,000 votes. Did you know that? But here's the kicker. 126,000 registered Republicans. This isn't independent voters. 126 registered Republicans in Oregon did not vote. Had we actually come out in the election, we'd have a Republican governor. We'd have Adam Laxalt in Nevada as a senator, and Joe Biden wouldn't be able to put forth terrible policy.
There are examples of this working because, and especially if the Democrats who are in power have gotten so bad. So, for example, in the city of Seattle right now, they don't have a DA. They have like a city attorney, but they have a non-Democrat city attorney.
Oh.
Now, she's someone who she didn't go Republican, so she was a Democrat, then she went to Republican, then she went, I think it's like unnamed party or something, unaffiliated when she ran, so basically independent, and she ran and won, running against George Soros, running against wokeness, running against all of these things, and so in, and again, the city of Seattle, not exactly a bastion of right-wing politics. So again, these wins are absolutely on the table if you have the right candidate at the right time. And again, if you're weaponizing the operations, what we're talking about, because I've always said the Democrats have never flipped this country. What they did in 2020 was operational. They
Correct.
Changed the game underneath our feet. And I think a lot of Republicans, in addition to a lot of chicanery and breaking a lot of rules along the way, things that in places where, like Wisconsin, by the way, where the Supreme Court came out and said that the election was unconstitutional.
Yes.
Where in Pennsylvania, they came out and said it was unconstitutional, but of course, they're not going to overturn it. And so the question is, I just keep coming back to it. Are we going to play the game to win, or are we just going to play?
Well, I want to bring it to something that people can do right now at this very second.
Let's go.
And you brought up Pennsylvania again. There is a special election on Tuesday, February 13th, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in the swing county of Bucks County. We are 3,300 voters away from flipping this county from blue to red, and we have a candidate, because right now it is tied in the House of Representatives of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania at the state level between Dems and Republicans. We have a seat that if we flip this on February 13th with Candace Cabanas, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, last name C-A-B-A-N-A-S, Candace Cabanas for Pennsylvania's 140th House District, this would be a huge nationwide win, and they would go, oh my gosh, Republicans just won the state house in a swing county, in a swing state, in a presidential year. And so please go to CandaceForPA.com and please support her and come out if you're in the Levittown area, right above Philadelphia. We need your vote for Candace Cabanas on February 13th. It would change history.
There you go. To all the Collar County Patriots out there, if you're in Montco, if you're in Chester, if you're in Berks, head over to Bucks County. Help them out. That's where, Mom and Dad, I know that's where you are right now when you're watching.
And hi,
see
Mom.
What you can do. Yeah, yeah. See what you can
me.
Do. She always does. She misses you too, don't you?
Yeah, I miss her.
Well, people don't realize that actually my mom helps out on the website
she
side
does. Yeah.
With some of the copy editing and some of the
She's
stuff
amazing.
That we do. I love, by the way, sometimes the libs will be like, what would your mother think if she heard you? I'm like, my mom literally watches everything that I do, like every
yeah.
interview to the minute, like could tell you every, it's amazing because, and Scott, like you know about this, you've been in the game for, you know, easily as long as I have, probably longer, and it's like they actually don't think that, because they're the side who has bad relationships with their families, not us.
Yeah, well, it's funny, the same thing happens to me. They're like, yeah, what? I bet your mom and dad are just so disappointed with you. I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dad offers to take me to the airport to pick me up and take me home every time. And so, you know, it's whatever. We're going to stay focused on defeating Joe Biden and electing a completely Republican 100%. Government. And to any of our detractors, you are not going to stop us. You are not going to derail us. And we're going to be cute as we do it. So let's go.
We're yeah, going to be cute. Jess, are you going to be cute as you do it as well?
We're going to be cute. Going back to the numbers, though, I think it is super important to kind of like amplify those numbers because, you know, you think about people that are living in states like Oregon. You think of Oregon, you think of Portland, just Democrat ridden. I'm sure a lot of those Republican could-be voters are just, they're feeling helpless. So if
yes.
they knew these numbers,
yes.
I mean, I would have to guess that that's the reason that they're not voting is because they feel hopeless. But if they knew these numbers,
it's
that's why
it.
It's so
it's really part
important
of
to get these actual numbers out and amplify it to the people.
Well, and we're not saying, I don't mean to dominate, we're not saying that there's no election fraud. We're not saying there's no shenanigans. What we are saying is even in states like California and places that are the liberal cesspools,
right.
your vote is going to matter even more because, for example, when we were winning early voting in 2022 in Miami-Dade and Pinellas County and Duval, we were winning in blue counties in early voting. That affected people's perception because perception is reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need everybody to have the mentality that, yes, we can win. But to go to the numbers, too, one thing that I harp on over and over, 40%, 40, not 14, 40% of Wisconsin hunters are not registered to vote. If we simply got
Unbelievable.
Every gun enthusiast and hunter in the state of Wisconsin registered and mobilized, we would never lose another election in that state, and we would therefore win the White House.
The Democrats understand this. The Republicans, the conservatives need to get on board. Scott?
Yes.
Where can people go to get access?
Well, you can find me on X or Twitter at Scott Pressler, scottpresone, or you can go to my organization, Early Vote Action.com. humanevents.com. That is earlyvoteaction.com.
And Jess Barshes at humanevents.com?
Yeah, Jessica Barshes, Human Events, X, Instagram, and Swing State Update.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have my permission to lay ashore.